Hi, it's Morag from Our Permaculture Life, and I'm at the Australian Permaculture Convergence in Canberra. And I'm here today with Ego from Timor-Leste, and we've just been hearing some absolutely fantastic stories about the work that you've been doing for decades now. And I'm particularly interested in the work that you're doing with schools. And there was something else that you said too that struck me, talking about Timor-Leste as a permaculture country.
Yeah.
And I really would love to just hear you speak a little bit more about the journey of permaculture.
Yeah, like at Timor, before Portuguese arrival of Portuguese in Timor, so Timor basically is a permaculture country. But because of this, during the colonization, so new ideas of agriculture, new culture being introduced to Timor, starting to introduce monoculture plantation, and starting using machinery and so on. So the traditional knowledge of the people starting to decrease a little bit. But during Portuguese time, not much happening. But when after Portuguese left in 1975, then Indonesia took over Timor with massive military occupation.
As I said, like after Portuguese left in 1975, and then 2 weeks later, Indonesia took over the country with military invasion. And so that's a huge impact on the country. Not only like it took the country as a land, but also destroyed the culture of the people as well. When Indonesia, that time already, big promotion of the Green Revolution that time. So they're using chemical fertilizer, pesticide, hybrid seeds, and they want to expand rice plantation in Timor. So actually, it's turning the whole people culture, of the impacting on the traditional culture of eating pattern of Timorese. So in the past, Timorese used to eat variety of food crops. They, for instance, for carbohydrate, they're eating more yam, a little bit of corn, and also a little bit of rice, but rice, it's a dry land rice. But then after Indonesian occupation, then they push for the more irrigated rice and more into monoculture. And of course, to increase rice production, they investing a lot of money into big irrigation system and putting machinery, and also using lots of chemical fertilizer, pesticide. So it actually destroy the knowledge of the people of using organic material to grow the crops for vegetables, fruits, and so on.
Can you say something about the way that that was introduced too? Because you said something before about the military intervention in that process too, that actually it wasn't just a spreading from the companies, it actually had something quite forceful behind that spread as well.
Yeah, you know, again, that time because of the regime, Indonesia is a very big with military occupation, and so military always behind this agricultural intervention, including coffee, for instance, the monopoly coffee plantation. So the Timorese coffee farmers, they cannot sell themselves. It's actually controlled by a military. So then when the 1997, when the economic crisis hit Indonesia or Asia, and the price of the external input increased massively. So most of Timorese, they cannot afford to buy this kind of input. So then starting to part of the student, the movement for liberation. So one of the ideas is how can we bring back the traditional knowledge of the people when we got independence? And then student movement starting to mobilize, you know, talk about how important it is to revitalize the traditional culture and also agriculture. I was at that time study animal husbandry. So
outside of the university. So we create like a small of a student movement. So look at how can we learn, you know, using organic. But because we don't have much experience, so but we have a good trial. But then after when August 99, we have a referendum. So majority, like 80% of the population, choose for independence. Mm. So that's a chance. And then the UN intervention with aid program. So the it's a right time that the permaculture been introduced.
And you're saying too that 80% of people in Timor-Leste actually
living in the rural area
rely on,
yeah,
agriculture,
on agriculture
as
the main economic bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's a great time. And then this permaculture volunteer from Northern New South Wales, Steve Crane, so he came and with introduced permaculture, and then meeting me, and he explained, even though I don't speak much English that time, but then after he explained, he showed the example, and then I said, that's what we dreaming for.
Yeah. And so, was it like for you what you had before?
No, it's a bit different.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
like a more I could say more easy and also more creative than before.
Mm. So how did other people feel about that? Was it an idea that just took off, or take a lot of explanation and demonstration?
Take time. Yeah. Because when you mention about permaculture, people say, "What's permaculture?" Mm. But when you mention about sustainable agriculture or agroecology, then people, so something to do with agroecological agriculture. Also agriculture that we don't harm in the environment. Mm. So then kind of understandable. But because of this UN intervention, you know, permaculture is just a small part. So the biggest part is with agenda trying to solve the food security of the country and trying to increase production. So massive food aid coming in. And also, again, we got fertilizer being sent in from China and tractors and so on.
So the help was the wrong help.
Yeah, again, they repeat the same mistake that Indonesia have done to Timor during 24 years. So then, Permatil, permaculture organization in Timor, Permatil, starting to lobby and then working with so many local NGOs and farmers group around the country, and we established a sustainable agriculture network called Hasatil, and Hasatil the member all around the country. So we're organizing exhibitions, seminar. And then lobby the government, and then takes more than 10 years so for government to recognize that sustainable agriculture or permaculture or agroecology is actually that's the country need.
Yeah.
So then slowly we have to penetrate into the all aspect of policy. So
what you're saying now, permaculture is in sort of the government policy of agriculture, and it's in the school education,
in the curriculum,
and,
which
is so it has managed to infiltrate.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a group of people, like intellectual people, that they penetrating to all this department. So I went into education, and then a few friends keep advocating through Ministry of Agriculture, and also state administration government. So, and then later, the permaculture in education is a massive change because it's been adopted part of the national curriculum, and it's approved by law. And so,
well done. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I have to also thank our Timorese government because they actually opened their door for us to actually put permaculture into the national curriculum. And I think this is quite helpful for the Timor-Leste Sustainable Development Goals. And so now, starting last year, through the lobby as well and the strategic review of Ministry of Agriculture, so they're starting to adopt permaculture into the policy, also starting to raise permaculture also as a way to achieve sustainable agriculture in Timor.
So how are you, how's permaculture spreading out? Are you having lots of courses, there's lots of trainers, there's lots of school programs? How is it still, you know, infiltrating, I suppose?
Well,
what's the method that you've got going that works there?
Since Steve left in 2002, 2003, so we don't run any permaculture design course, PDC, because Timor-Leste probably different to other country, that majority of the people are still illiterate. Mm-hmm. They can't read and write. So then we just focus on the issue. Instead of people coming to us, we go to the committee. Mm-hmm. And so we travel around the country to help. And then basically in both ways. So we learn from the community about their traditional knowledge of farming system, and then we introduce new ideas to improve what the knowledge that are existing or exist there already. So it's like a permaculture is a great complementing among the Timorese culture, and so like in the farming system, and also looking after their forest, their water, and so.
Have you found it's a way of actually helping people to remember and revalue traditional culture?
Revitalize their culture and also value their culture more.
Yeah.
Rather than say, oh, you know, our culture is a backward, or you know, outside culture is more, you know, updated or modern. And so now it's kind of, so when people ask, where is your permaculture garden, I said Timor-Leste.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So what about the women? Is it a very much sort of a balanced approach, you know, like women are involved, or is it a different approach that the women are taking, or is it just
In our approach, permatil approach, we always want balance between women and men, because that's one of our principle of work. So in permatil, we have few great female permaculture teacher, and they great. You know, they can run the permaculture course by themselves, and I'm so happy about that result. And every time we do activity training, we always ask, we want a balance between female and male. For instance, we run the kids camp or youth camp. We always want 50-50 if possible, so that, you know, we give equal opportunity to you know, male and females.
What's a permaculture kids camp? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a kids camp. It's because of this school garden is being adopted in education. So we observe that every school holiday, kids actually do nothing. So then we come up, 2016, we come up with ideas, all right, let's organize a kids camp during the holiday. So we done one 2016 and then one in 2017. And it's a good turn up. And before, it's a parent, they worry that, you know, sending their kids away, they worry. But then after they sing that, you know, actually the kids came home with the knowledge, and starting to, you know, have a more conversation than before. That's a good thing about the school garden, because in the country like Timor, majority illiterate, and they can't, the parent, most of them can't help, you know, helping their kids with homework. So they kind of, you know, trying to motivate the kids to keep learning, but they can't help much. But when the kids come home with the home garden, homework, you know, like a compost or gardening, and all of a sudden, the whole family, you get involved.
Yeah, so it's rising
up. Yeah, it's rising up, and they have better communication and so on than before.
That makes so much sense.
It's like a behavior change, and normally they're burning, you know, burning all of this organic material.
No way to put it. No.
Yeah, but then after, and then you can see school, they don't burn the waste anymore. They separate, and they're using or starting to collect this organic material for using as a mulch, as a compost.
Do they do school lunches? Do they grow school lunches there, or is that?
Yes, school lunch is a big program that's funded by government.
Yeah,
that's every school have lunch every day. Mm. So now some school, so the camp is also the kids have lots of activities about gardening, about cooking, about also. We have lots of games and also competition that, you know, traditional like people, you know, crush the corn for, you know, making their meal, or they pounding corn, or they grated their coconut using, you know, manually instead of using machine with using fuel.
Yep.
So lots of competition that we do for the kids, and they love it.
Yeah,
and they're very interesting.
Yeah.
And also every 2 years, Permatil runs a permaculture youth camp. So we start first one in 2008. Mm. That's about 400 kids.
Wow, 400? Yeah. I'm thinking 30 or something.
No. 400 kids the first time, and then second time, 2009, it's about 600.
Josh.
And then 2012, 1,200 kids.
No way!
Yeah.
That is
huge. And now, next one this November, 2018, we target 1,000. We try to limit 1,000, because that's what we could manage to hold.
So, I mean, you have 170 schools at the moment with it's rolling out more and more, and these camps with 1,000. I mean, this is an extraordinary example of the rippling out of something really positive. And when it's something makes sense, and when something is, like you're saying, connected with the existing culture, it's not an imposition, it's come together and it's making sense and it's making a difference.
Yeah.
Apart from the things that you already mentioned, is there anything else that you've seen that and has really supported to make a huge difference in people's lives? I mean, you've talked about families connecting, you're talking about, you know, local food or anything else.
Yeah, it's also helping a more creative way of teaching.
Yeah.
You know, school gardening is the main objective of school gardening is a living laboratory. Mm. So because Timor, we don't produce enough tetum books.
Mm.
So actually, school gardening, you don't need books.
Yeah.
That's a living book.
Yeah.
Then you could teach with any subject. You can teach natural science, social science, nutrition, environment, art and culture,
everything.
Physical education, and it's a great playground for the kids.
Yeah, as context.
And it's
actually
a cultural appropriate for the community.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too about how the gardens are going back into people's homes and compounds and areas, and it's just has there been any look at, you know, the change in health and nutrition and the impact on people's
We haven't done that study yet.
Mm.
So this year, so we promoted raising fund to do a first evaluation. That's we get funding from PermaFund from Australia. And also we get a volunteer from Australia to help do evaluation.
Mm.
So better someone from outside to look at from outside rather than us, you know, look at from inside.
Yeah.
So that to give a credibility of school gardening to Timorese people and the government, as well as we could share with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And if Timor strong in that way, we could help other countries in the future.
Yeah, and the other thing that you're helping the rest of the world with is the development of the tropical permaculture handbook, which has come out of Timor-Leste too. So, you know, it's an amazing learning that you're sharing with so many people, and so this is it, isn't it?
Yeah, this.
And, well, this is part of it.
Yeah.
I believe it's massive.
Yeah.
It's absolutely massive, and. Well, you presented this morning and you know, talking about how it doesn't matter whether you're literate or not, there's pictures all the way throughout this that can be copied, you know, and handed around,
and people can see,
even if you can read that or not, you can get what these pictures are talking about.
The picture explained by itself.
And these are pictures that are done by local people.
Local artists,
So they're culturally appropriate pictures.
Yeah, that's right.
And so the whole idea of this book is that in tropical areas, these culturally appropriate solutions that people can pick these up and get and have a chat about.
That's right, yeah.
And know how to make a difference. And so this is, there is one, this is in Tatum, is it?
It's English.
Yeah, but yeah. There's one in Tatum as well.
In, original is also in Tatum, yeah. And Bahasa Indonesia. Yeah. So because this is an international edition, yep. Now we look for fun. So we encourage people to download,
yep.
All over the world. So people can donate as they wish.
Yep.
And that money goes towards the translation for multiple languages.
Fantastic.
But first target priority is we have to translate back to Tetum.
Yep.
So we could give back to Timorese people that this your book. And before we share with the rest of the world.
So can you tell us what the website is so that people can come and download and come and donate?
Yeah, the website is permacultureguidebook.org.
Okay, I'll put that down below. You can actually check that out. And you can download most of the chapters now for free if you need to. And or, as you're saying, you can donate.
They donate the
As you can tell, it's like an amazing, amazing work that you're doing that is just a gift to the world as well.
That's right, yeah.
As your own community. Thanks, Ego.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say thank you for the work you're doing.
Okay.
It's just extraordinary. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on, let's fix it.
Come on, let's fix it.